road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Cameron there on the controls at the KFBK studios. Thanks for taking a few minutes out of your time between, you know, I don't know, mowing the lawn and running to the grocery store. Of course, a lot of people, Mark, you've told me on more than one occasion that actually this is destination listening. People will actually have this in their mental calendar to tune in and listen, huh?
Well, yeah, because you don't have any other kind of calendar right now besides a mental one. So it's not like people are, you know, somebody calls up and says, could we get together on the phone next week? And I think, well, gee, you know, I barely have any time available. I might be able to squeeze you in between 11 and 11:30 on Tuesday, but I'm not really... Yeah, no, it's most folks have got just a little bit of I'm always honored when somebody says to me, "Yeah, I listen to your show, you know, once in a while, often, all the time." And however that answer feels in it, just the fact that they know that it's there and that they've heard of it, or a lot of times people will say, "Oh, you know, I really like this part," or they'll say, "You know, this part not so much," or something. So it's good to get you know, just spur of the moment reviews of the program from people.
Right, right. Well, how was your week? Anything new going on there at the Sports Leisure Vacation offices? Kind of quiet recently?
Yeah, things are still pretty quiet. We're going to talk a little bit more in our next segment about vaccines and testing and how that all fits with travel, at least up to this minute, and how it might fit 20 minutes from now, because it's ever-changing. I think we've got some good information in the back end of the program. I think the best thing right now is to keep people informed. They can't go many places as California peels back the wrapping a little bit. Why folks will be able to get out to some places? Did you see on the news last night? I was watching Channel 3, and they said that they had photos of people headed up Highway 50 and Highway 80, and it was like more people than parking lots could hold. And that's just because we talked about this last week about getting out on the snow. So
yeah, they were. I've had more than one person ask me, "Gee, where can I go play in the snow? Because they got any snow parks?" And I go, "Well, yeah, but you know, good luck." They were turning people back from the first snow park that you run into up Highway 50 and up mm-hmm. near Soda Springs and Sierra Tahoe. Yeah, of course, everybody's trying to get it done.
Well, nobody had anywhere else that they could go. So yeah. I wanted to just take a minute here at the top of the program and mention there's a charity restaurant in town that I think a lot of people are aware of. Maybe I've even eaten at over the years. It's called Casa Garden, and its full name was Casa de los Niños, and it was a small restaurant that was operated downtown. Well, not downtown, but out on 12th Avenue there. And after many, many years, 40 years, it has gone away. The board of directors voted last week to close the restaurant. It's been empty. It's been sitting there since last March. And so it's part of the mission of the children's home. And the gratuities there, all the ladies who worked there over the years donated their gratuities. Lots of other services were donated so that they could raise millions and millions of dollars for their mission there. And the food was always really, really good. I mean, you go to like a charity restaurant and you think, well, you know, if this is just edible and they've, you know, I get out of here and leave a few bucks on the counter, why, that's good for everybody. But the food was excellent all the time. And I'm sure there are lots of people listening to this program who were at events there because they had some meeting rooms and stuff like that. I spoke to groups there a number of times about our company. And just an overall, the vibe there was just really, really good because you felt like that by going there, you know, everybody was pitching in and making something good happen.
Well, all right. They're going to be, I've heard it from several different sources, both on TV and the radio, and now again from you, how wonderful it was. My wife used to eat there at for lunch with her mom back in the days when she did work downtown with Caltrans. Anyway, we wish them the best. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we always do our best to bring you up to date in the travel news. And with the travel news, Mr. Mark Hoffman. Mark?
Hey, well, and let's talk a little bit about new service at the airport. I think we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but in case we didn't, starting March the 1st, Spirit Airlines is adding a nonstop to Orange County. I'm not sure how that exactly fits into Spirit's game plan. Southwest flies there a number of times a day. Spirit is going to go once a day, down in the morning and back in the afternoon. So at least it gives you another option. What we saw with San Diego fares when Alaska started offering a couple round trips a day from Sacramento to San Diego, back in the days when people used to fly on airplanes, we found that the fares to San Diego, a cap kind of was put on them, and people were kind of saving about $20 each direction that they weren't saving before the second airline came in. So maybe Spirit, even with this limited service, will reduce the fares to Orange County, which generally are a little higher than Long Beach, Los Angeles, Burbank, things like that. So anyway, one more competitor there in that market. You mentioned in the headlines that Tauk Tours, who really are the folks that started escorted touring back in the 1930s, they have announced that their first departure, actually the first departure is already gone, a winter in Yellowstone trip. With 20 people, they have several more departures of that itinerary, and they have indicated that they have some other itineraries that they hope to resume in March and April. So it appears as though at least a few travel suppliers are starting to poke their heads out of the ground and see if there aren't some areas that they can operate in. Yeah, it is good news. Yeah. CDC has issued a mask mandate for planes, public transportation, in the country. It took effect last Monday, so if you are traveling on any form of public transportation, also if you're on any federal property, why you are required to wear a mask. Southwest Airlines has announced that, you know, Tom, this is kind of interesting. When they took the 737 MAX out of the sky a year and a half ago, it was the big travel story. You know, when would it come back? And they kept pushing it back, and it was hurting the airlines, and they were having to change schedules. And then nobody cared anymore because they didn't need all the planes they had and didn't matter when the MAX came back. So the MAX is back in service now. It's a form of the 737 workhorse airplane. It's just a new version. It's more fuel efficient. It had a couple of crashes on the other side of the planet. Southwest took it out of service, not because they wanted to, but because they were forced to. It's now been almost 2 years. And the plane is back flying again on limited U.S. routes. Several U.S. carriers have announced that they're going to start using it over the next few weeks. So I don't think that they're going to come on the PA system at the airport until you're flying a MAX plane. So if you don't want to fly on one, just watch your itinerary when you book your flight or a couple weeks ahead of time. Most of the airlines understand that there are a few people who don't want to fly on this particular plane, and so if you call them and it's not at the very last minute and explain the situation, in most cases I think that you will find an ear, a listenable ear, because they know that some folks are not crazy about flying this airplane. I'm going to suggest to you that the FAA wouldn't let Southwest put it back in the sky unless they thought it was safe, especially considering how long this has all taken and how much money has been involved for Boeing and all the airlines and stuff like that. So I have relative confidence in the safety folks here. Southwest Airlines also has indicated that they are surprised by the demand for Hawaii at this particular time from the West Coast, and the demand from the middle of the country for people who are saying, you know, when do we get flights to Hawaii. So at least one bright spot, apparently, despite all the testing and the hoops that people have to jump through to get to the islands or to change islands when they get there. People are putting up with that, and in some numbers are going to Hawaii. Hotel occupancies over there are reported as being between 25 and 40%. Be careful if you're going, as we've said before, because that with not as many travelers, it means that many restaurants, guest services, attractions, and the like may not be open or may only be open on a limited basis. So it's important. Again, I know this sounds like a broken record, but do your homework before you travel. Canada has imposed mandatory hotel quarantines. It's banned travel to Mexico and the Caribbean. If you leave the country, you have to it is mandatory that you quarantine when you return. It's a self quarantine, so I'm not sure how all of that works, but at least Canada is stepping up their situation and trying to keep people at home. And I'm just here wishing that I'd had a couple of hundred shares of GameStop when the week started last week. But gosh darn it, I didn't. But other than that, that's your travel news for today.
All right. We are the travel and entertainment guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And remember now, our guests that we'll have on later on in the program, things we've had in the past, and lots of other good stuff can always be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. So check it out. Coming up, our Smarter Traveler segment. After a short time out, we're going to talk about the new idea of COVID tests prior to domestic flights. How does that sound to you? Huh? That's coming up next.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina.
Hi there, my friends. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here, sharing Sunday afternoon with you. We are the travel and entertainment guys. And coming up after the news at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by Charlie Lekoka from Travelers United. Charlie's got some great stuff to discuss with us about sick travelers. And what do you do if you're not feeling well and you need to fly? Can you get your money back? How's that work? That's all coming up, as well as if you're a KVIE fan like Mark and I are, you're probably familiar with Rob Stewart. It's Rob on the Road. Rob will join us. He's always fun to have on. Been 10 years now with KVIE. We're going to talk about his show and what's new going on there. Mark, in the meantime, it's our Smarter Travelers segment. I'm anxious for you to smarten us up here a little bit.
Well, there's some good news for travelers on the COVID front, because I mean, other than the fact that there are these new strains that are floating around and nobody's exactly sure how that's going to impact things yet, but the good news is, if you live in California, our reinfection rate for the last couple of days has been 0.77. now, just to give you an idea, anything below one is good, means that the vaccine is receding as opposed to spreading around. And so you get below 0.9, that's really good. You get down to 0.8, that's terrific. 0.77 tells you that the numbers that we've already seen, we've talked about this for the last week or so, because we've seen this, but the numbers are even lower now, the reinfection rate numbers. With if fewer people are reinfecting other people, the numbers are going to keep coming down dramatically with that 0.77. So that's good news. It means that fewer people are going to be infected, which means 2 to 3 weeks from now, fewer people are going to be hospitalized, which means 2 or 3 weeks after that, there are going to be a lot fewer hearses backing up the hospitals in Sacramento and the surrounding counties. So that's all good news. Johnson & Johnson last week came out and said that, God, this is turning into a medical show. Their vaccine had 72% efficacy in the United States, but they reported that there were no deaths in their trial group. So it eliminated, didn't have quite as high of you're not getting the virus, but if you got it, bad things didn't happen to you. So that's another tool to put in the toolbox there. So hypothetically, at some point in time over the next few months, it will be safer to travel again. I suspect we will still be wearing masks for a few months. This is not going to go away in 20 minutes, despite what some people may have believed for a while. Thomas, airlines are suddenly last week the Center for Disease Control, I don't know what happened there, but I'm guessing that somebody kind of overstepped their bounds a little bit because the reaction was immediate, but said, you know, well, we'll have testing on domestic flights. We'll have everybody get tested before they get on a domestic plane. And, oh, my goodness, it didn't take, but, I mean, literally it took 20 minutes for people to start responding to that.
Yeah. There's, you know, okay, I'm going to have to take a test before I fly to L.A. And,
yeah.
And I'm, you know what, I'm coming back the same day, so I guess I have to get another test before I fly back. There's a certain amount of insanity involved there. You know, I can understand if, and I've seen this, has happened to my family, where you're coming to visit or whatever, you test 72 hours ahead of time, you go, you're going to stay there for a week to 10 days, and you may or may not test again while you're there, but, yeah. I'm sure the airlines, they'd just have to go out of business if this was the case.
Well, and that's exactly pretty much what the feedback was that it's not possible. Because of the number of people who don't spend the 3 or 4 days in a destination, and then and the first thing that the CDC, there was one fireback, and they said, well, you know, testing is available at many airports now. Instant testing. Well, but it's not free. So a ticket to Los Angeles is $75 to $100, and ditto for coming back.
Like
so
most.
Now you're going to go to the airport and pay them $100 or $150 or $200 for an instant test, so that you can and that's the only way you could possibly do it on the return, because I mean, unless they still accepted that same day return, still I mean, you know, there's a lot of, and we've seen this be a little bit of an issue. Hawaii tried it; they apparently are finding some middle ground now, but boy, it's been a rocky road for them. So. I just don't. Do you see people going and getting a test so they can fly for an? I mean, you go to San Antonio once in a while to see family. Would you be willing to get tested each direction to do something like that?
No, I wouldn't. You know, yeah. I can wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Bottom line, and you know, I mean, I got my first part of my first vaccine this past Tuesday.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, my wife got hers on Saturday. Her mother. Who's 89, got hers on Wednesday. She's with Sutter. We're with UC Davis. You know, at this point, waiting is no longer something that you have to wait 6 months for a year for.
Yeah.
You know, we've been told that probably in 3 weeks, we'll be notified to come back and get the second half of our vaccine. Of course, with the new variances and so forth, they're a little nervous as to whether everything is going to still be as effective as it once was. But they're really getting it buttoned up. And for those of you who haven't gotten your vaccine, you know, be watching your emails, check with your medical providers, the governor's website, what is it called? I'm next, whatever.ga.gov, the website where you can sign up, where they'll notify you, where there are places you can go and get vaccines at county locations. It's all coming together. Had no bad reactions at all, none of us, from the first vaccine.
Now I was going to mention that to you, though. I can see you here on Facebook, because, of course, we're not in the same location. I was going to mention that. What is that thing that's growing out of the side of your head there?
All right. Don't scare people. I have been told that the second vaccine is more than likely the one that will cause some side effects, maybe a little fever, chills, you know, eyes bulging out of your head. No, just making that part up. So anyway, we'll keep you posted. And I wish everybody Godspeed on getting your vaccine. Don't be afraid. It'll be okay.
Yeah. So how did you just drive up in your car? And I mean, did you go in a building, or did you have it in a parking lot, or was it behind the grocery store, or how was your
No, UC Davis had a vaccination center or not too far from the hospital. You basically booked the time. You showed up. It's a large building. They had converted it into a vaccination location with one room full of places where you get your vaccine. They're making changes. I noticed there were changes from the time I went to the time when Stephanie went. They had already streamlined the process, so it's easy to do.
Let me ask you a question. You've had one shot. You have the second shot scheduled in a couple of weeks. Does this change the fact that you've had one? You know when you're going to have the second one. Does this change your attitude towards going any place? I mean, did you?
No, I don't feel safer. I mean, and not until I get the second shot. And we've made the determination that, and we've talked to a lot of people. There's a lot of research being done. This will help protect me, or rather, this will help protect others from me. Mm-hmm. By me getting the shot. But I, you know, you just don't want to let down your guard and think that now you can go everywhere and do everything without a mask. Still need to wear your mask. You still need to do social distancing because there are a lot of other people that need to get vaccinated too. Once that happens, then the opportunity to gather with you, Mark, and others that we've all had our vaccine, then we can start thinking about loosening it up a little bit. But no, I'm not changing much of anything that I do.
Well, and I think most of that is going to happen pretty quickly. I think if we look at it a month from now, we're going to see it a little bit different. All right, news is next, and then we'll be back with more of the Travel Guys right here on News Radio KFBK.
All right, thanks for joining us, friends. Keep it here. Thanks for joining us. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here to make you a smarter traveler. And don't forget now, you can follow along and links to our special guests at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, who do you have with us today?
Well, one of our favorite frequent visitors is here with us from Travelers United, which is an organization in Washington, D.C. that sticks up for people like you and me. And there are a lot of people working against you and me in Washington. There are precious few people sticking up for you and me in Washington. This is particularly important. Joining us is Charlie Leocota. Charlie has been with us before. Today we're going to talk a little bit about an idea that your organization had about passengers, about what happens when somebody gets sick. Do we still want them on an airplane? Talk a little bit about masks. And just about the changing of the guard in Washington, D.C. Charlie, the sick passenger rule, this is something that an idea that has had some headwind before. Airlines have no real way for people to say, hey, I'm sick. I don't want to get on the plane and make other people sick. Can I just not fly? Talk to us about it.
Okay. Yes, you can just not fly. But it's going to cost you a lot of money for being a good guy. Because what the airlines would do is they will say, fine, you don't have to fly right now. You can get on another flight. However, you're going to have to pay the change fee, which now have been eliminated for most flights. However, you are going to then change. You'll have to pay the difference in airfare. And years ago, not that far ago, about 4 years ago, I had pneumonia when I was in Europe. And I wanted to fly back from Madrid to the United States, and I explained to the people at the check-in counter what my problem was, and I had all of my x-rays and everything else of my lungs and so on, and they said, yes, we understand. No problem whatsoever. You can just stay for an extra week and sleep. I said, I'll even pay for my hotel room. No problem. And they said, but you're going to have to pay the difference in airfare. And the difference in airfare was going to be $2,000.
My gosh.
And I said, whoa, I don't feel that sick. And they said, fine, you can get on the plane. And that was years ago. And now we've got the real problem of COVID. But it's not only COVID. There are all sorts of other communicable diseases,
sure,
which people are carrying around on aircraft. And today, if you walked up to an airplane and said, I had COVID, they would just go berserk and those keep you off the flight and so on and so forth. But if you said, I have tuberculosis, which is almost as bad or maybe worse, then you say, just go right ahead. Or you have to pay extra money to get off the flight. So the sick passenger rule is very important. I tried to get it introduced into the CARES Act, and I was unsuccessful.
And I'm a tour operator. And same position as the airline. Somebody calls in the day before a trip's supposed to leave. Let's pretend they paid $2,000 for it. And so my profit is probably $300, $400, $500. Depends on a lot of different things.
Right.
And there are direct costs that I have paid for that I will be out. And the passenger calls and says, gee, you know, I have cancellation insurance, but this doesn't exactly fall. You know, I've got a bad cold. I haven't been to the doctor. I really shouldn't be traveling. And it's kind of like, well, if I make them go to the doctor, especially if it's a short trip, if it's a day trip or a 2-day trip, if I make them go to the doctor and get a note, they're probably not going to do that. They're just going to come out and get on the bus and infect a bunch of other people. So it's, I understand where the airlines are coming from in that if you could be absolutely certain that a rule like this would only be used by the people who were genuinely sick, I'd be 110% in favor of it. But how do you police it? Any thoughts, Charlie?
Well, this is exactly where the law always seems to break down. Anytime there's a law that is not enforced by something which is actually very specifically controlled, then you get into a problem. And many people, they call up their dentist. As long as it says Dr. So-and-so, and he writes on the note that so-and-so shouldn't be traveling, you know, he's suffering from pneumonia. And I'm not really sure what they'd have to do. However, I'm sure that there's some way that an airline could have a direct communication with a doctor, and the doctor could have some sort of a code, which would then allow you to move and to change your flight to another flight at no additional charge. Because it's not your choice to be sick. You know, if you're legitimately sick, you just should not be flying.
Charlie, you... Passengers United, Travelers United, rather, you guys recently did a mask survey. How did that work out? What were the results?
Our concept was that if there is a federal mandate that on all federal buildings and on federally controlled transportation,
right,
that you have to wear a mask, that then the flight attendants and the pilots, when they speak to someone, says, put your mask on. There is like a $35,000 FAA fine, mm-hmm, that these people can get if they don't wear their mask.
Now, if it's a federal law that you have to wear a mask, now you've stepped into a different pile of goo. One more thing, Charlie, here before we let you go. We have there's a new sheriff in town in Washington. Any big changes? Anything that comes to the top of the list that wasn't before? How does this all impact Travelers United?
Well, right now, in terms of Travelers, I think that having a new Secretary of Transportation can only help, as well as having a new administration. The past administration was just not friendly to consumers, period. They did nothing for you if you had to fly somewhere. What we've ended up with is that now we've got, hopefully, the former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg, is going to be the next Secretary of Transportation. And this has got a twofold benefit for us. This is the first time that we've actually had an active politician who has future goals in politics, mm-hmm, in the position of being the Secretary of Transportation. So I think that he's going to be far more amenable to consumer actions and less friendly with only the airlines. And that's going to make a big, big, big difference.
Charlie, I'm glad to hear you say that, because Washington, D.C. is known for gridlock. So it really would be nice to have somebody there in the Department of Transportation. Doesn't sound very important, but to those of us in the travel business, it's incredibly important, especially with the infrastructure situation the way it is right now.
And a lot of senators and representatives really feel that the airlines are very, very important, and that the consumers will just have to suck it up and, in effect, sit in smaller seats, be squeezed together, and so on. So we will see what happens during the next administration. We have a lot of bills which have already been passed, which were just ignored by the past administration. And we've got new areas that we're looking at. And I'll be looking forward to talking with you as we move forward on some of these actions.
Well, and that one good thing is Amtrak and the train has been something that has been in need of attention for a long time. And we just happen to have an Amtrak writer in the White House. So maybe that will have
we do
a little bit of an impact Charlie, before we take off here today, I want to tell the folks who are listening a little bit about Travelers United, which is Charlie's organization. TravelersUnited.org is the website. There's a link at our site at TravelGuysRadio.com if you're driving around. You can join. It is a great resource if you are an active traveler, if you're somebody who gets on the airplane and says, yeah, seat is too tight, there's no leg room. And if you're one of those kind of people, then you should at least be throwing a few shekels Charlie's direction, because he's the guy who is fighting to make that seat a little wider or a little more leg room, or at least keep it from getting even smaller yet.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an important organization. Thank you for standing up for us in D.C., and we'll talk to you again, I'm sure, not too far down the road.
Okay, sounds great. Take care, guys.
It's always good, Tom, to talk to Charlie, because the man is a wealth of information, and he's in Washington, D.C. every day, and he's been there for a while, so he knows a lot of people. So he hears stuff, and you have to decide whether or not the information is, you know, the tidbits he has are true or not, but at least he throws them out there, and if you've heard them someplace else, well, then you say, that might be factual. You know, I might want to check into that. So he just always, and he's always got his fingers in different places. I suspect that there are Congress people and senators who don't like to see him coming, because he stands for things that they probably would rather not spend a lot of time on. But for those of us, like I said, who are crammed into those airline seats and stuff like that, there are precious few people out there working for us. Charlie happens to be one of them. Travelers United is the name of the organization, and I belong. And this is not a plug for Charlie's organization, but it is a way, if you are an avid traveler, to get more finger on the pulse of some of the things that are going on.
And a link to Charlie at TravelGuysRadio.com. Well, 10 years at KVIE, and he's still there. Rob Stewart of Rob on the Road, very entertaining, joins us next here on The Travel Guys. Thanks again for joining us, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, always brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And you know what? Sports Leisure Vacations not only brings you this show, but has been a sponsor, I don't know exactly how you call it, underwriter of a really, really popular program over there on KVIE. And we're so fortunate to have the host with us today. Mark, why don't you introduce our somewhat famous gentleman.
Somewhat famous. It's only taken you 10 years, Rob, to get to somewhat famous. So who knows where you could be, you know, in another 10 years. From Rob on the Road at KVIE, joining us on The Travel Guys is Rob Stewart. Rob, welcome.
You know where I'll be in 10 years? I'll be old. But it's so good to talk to both of you guys. You're always so much fun, and we so appreciate your support.
Well, you are very welcome. It has been pretty close to 3 decades now that Sports Leisure Vacations has been involved with public television. And can I just say to anybody out there who owns a business who is saying, you know, how do I develop my advertising program and stuff like that? If you think you're going to be around for a while and you want people to really to know who you are and maybe put you in a little different category than every other business in town, then look at underwriting something on public television or public radio. Because you get a little different audience there, and people tend to look at your support of those entities a little differently than they do just you running a commercial on paid radio like we are on right now. Okay, so anyways, enough of that.
Very kind of you, Mark. Thank you.
Well, you know, we've been writing checks for a long time, so if we didn't think it was a good thing, you know, we wouldn't still be doing it. So anyways, thank you, Rob, for all that you have done. You are in your 10th or 12th year season. You've been around for a long time, and I got this thing from KVIE that said, you know, congratulations, and then you tried to explain it to me, and I was just a little more confused. So explain to our listeners what the celebration is about.
Well, it's been 12 years since we launched Rob on the Road, and when we first started this idea, it was segments that aired between our programming, and they were about 3 minutes long, between, say, Antiques Roadshow and Huell Hauser, or between Masterpiece and Nova. And after 2 years, two successful years of that, we pushed and said, let's do a half-hour weekly show. So 10 seasons ago, we launched Rob on the Road as a weekly half-hour. And it's hard to believe, but it's been a decade of destinations all across the state. And it has been my joy to take people with me wherever I go. You know, when I started doing this, I was thinking of, if you want to know specifically, I was thinking of my grandmother, who at the time had become paralyzed. And I thought, I want to take people places they can't go. And I took people in my head with me everywhere I went. And now I just take thousands of them with me.
That's cool.
One of the few upsides of the COVID situation has forced a lot of cultural arts people to get more creative and to do things online, do virtual tours and virtual concerts and different things that they mm-hmm. wouldn't have done. And the one thought that I had is exactly what you were just talking about, Rob. It's great for all of us able-bodied people to see that in a different light. But for a lot of, for example, the cowboy poetry contest in Nevada is coming up in a few days. And normally, if you didn't go to Elko, Nevada, you could never be a part of it. But this year, you can watch it online for a small fee and save yourself the cost of a hotel room and actually experience the event. So that's been one of the COVID things that actually has been kind of a plus, is that I've gotten to see some things online that I wouldn't have. You've been doing this for a long time now, a decade. Does one show or one topic, or what's the most memorable? What bubbles to the top of the list?
You know, the ones that jump first are the ones that, and I'm going to gear this toward travel, are the ones that I can take someone to a place they know of, and then once we get there, do everything we can to get behind closed doors. Like, we went to Coit Tower, and the back stairwell to walk up to the top was closed. And we didn't want to take the elevator. It's too fast. So we walked up the stairs, and we walked all beside the beautiful murals that Eleanor Roosevelt herself commissioned during the WPA, the Works Progress Administration, to put artists to work. We got to see those beautiful murals. We got to go on the closed deck at the very top of Coit Tower and see a 360 view of San Francisco that has been closed. We did the same thing at Hearst Castle. We got down into the basement and on the third floor that is also closed, which was the private quarters back in the day of Hearst. And I saw a window, and we climbed out the window with the state park ranger and stood on the roof of Hearst Castle to see what California looked like back in the 1800s, because it was the same view. It's been uninterrupted as you look towards San Simeon. Just spectacular places that once you're there, if you ask, all they can say is yes or no. And sometimes when a camera's rolling, they'll let you do it.
That's cool. Yeah.
When I'm doing radio, I was doing sports a long time ago and now travel, there's always, you know, somebody who say, wow, I'd really like to get that person on the air. That would be awesome if I could talk to that person, or I could go there and tell people about that place. Is there a place that you haven't gotten to that has been on the top of your list for a long time, or something you found out recently that you just can't wait to get the opportunity to share with folks?
Oh, yes. One's been on my list since the very first year of this, and that's the top of the Golden Gate Bridge. It's very high. It's 750 feet above the water. But I promise you, if there's any way to make it happen, I'm going to walk to the top of that bridge, 750 feet. And I also want to go to the top of Half Dome. I want to make it one show. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a long hike. That's about 16 miles round trip. In the elevation, I think, is like almost 5,000 feet. So it's difficult, but I want to do those two. That would be a pinnacle for me, you know, to be able to go to the top of the Golden Gate Bridge and the top of Half
Interesting.
Dome.
Well, you better get it going.
Go do.
Better get it going.
Yeah, I know. There is access. It is highly restricted. We did do the new Bay Bridge when it opened, and we hiked across it right before they opened it to traffic the next day.
Right.
And that was interesting. We wanted to go to the top of that new span with the tower because they said it was the most earthquake-friendly place in the state, the very top of the tower on the Bay Bridge. But yes, we've jumped into the Golden Gate Bridge trying to get to the top of that. We've hit some roadblocks, but it is called Rob on the Road, and we do take detours, and we find ways around the detours to get back on the road. We'll get to the top of that bridge.
Our guest is Rob Stewart from KVIE, host of, as he just said, Rob on the Road. COVID has caused you to do something very different. In the minute or so that we have left here, tell us the difference between the challenges, the biggest challenge, between doing a show where you can actually go live to a place and where it all has to be done over the internet.
We've gone from a journey out in the open and across the state to a journey inward with the guests that we interview. So it's still, I still like to call it travel because we're traveling inside someone's soul. Tomorrow, this will be on Monday night for our show. We will have Bertha Gaffney Gorman. Her granddaughter just did the inaugural poem. She's the poet laureate. Amanda did a beautiful job with that poem. She's also she's going to be speaking at the Super Bowl, sold a million books the week that she spoke. Her mother tells the story of the connection to slavery, and it will blow your mind.
Awesome. That's Monday.
Monday night.
That's tomorrow.
Yes, it is. Wow. Traveling inside your soul. I'd like to think that over the last 42 years that's one of the reasons that people travel with Sports Leisure Vacations, is that just like you, we're trying to give them something a little bit different. Sometimes it's hard to put your finger on it or hard to describe it, but when you find it, you know it. So, thank you for the great job.
I've been on one of your tours.
Thank you for the great job that you do on television. Perhaps we just compliment each other. Maybe that's why our two entities have found each other. Anyway, Rob on the Road on Monday nights. Be sure to watch tomorrow evening. Rob Stewart, thank you for joining us on the Travel Guys.
Okay, thank you both so much. Take care.
You know, he is such a nice guy. Not only does he have a lot of talent, but he's, you know, the thing I like about Rob is he actually listens when you talk.
good point. It's one of the reasons that he's so good at what he does is because sometimes he shuts up and lets people talk. Something I could learn sometimes. I got to shut up or we're going to be out of time here. I will tell folks, dance like nobody's watching, and we will look forward to talking to you next week.
Next week on The Travel Guys, you be here, make you a smarter traveler, I promise. Thanks for joining us. Stay well, my friends. Yeah.